Okay, you're set to go.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the first FFC Therapy Podcast. My name's Ken Daly. I'm your host, and I'm really excited about today's episode. I got some interesting guests with me. This morning, I have Zinc. I also have Manuela Rigaud-Theodore, and I also have Ty Canty. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ken. Good morning.
How you doing? Where are you at this morning, Ty? Where are you, in New York?
Yeah, I'm in New York.
Yeah. How's the weather over there?
It's good. It's good.
Zinc, where are you right now?
Yeah, in New York. Yeah.
You're in New York? Okay, so you're feeling the same weather. And Manuela, where are you today?
I'm in Montreal.
Montreal. Wonderful. Well, I was really excited about being asked to host this episode. FFC, which stands for Fashion Fights Cancer. This is a wonderful initiative, and I was hoping that we could get a better understanding of what you're doing and really understand how this all started. So, Ty, I know that you're the president of FFC.
Yes.
How did this whole FFC movement get started?
Well, FFC got started in 2004. So in 2004, I had a cancer scare. Well, at least I thought it was. I had a lump in my groin, and it turned out to be a cyst. But the effects of that just were horrible. So my heart started to beat fast. My palms were sweaty. I started to lose my hair. I was really in fear, like thinking it might be cancer. The doctors, it took them like a day or two, like, oh, it may be cancer, it may not be. And the reason why it was so scary, because my sister was dealing with stage 4 cancer at the time. So when I found out it was a cyst and I would be okay, I thought to myself, I wonder if any other cancer patients go through the same feelings, right? So you're dealing with the physical side of cancer, but do they deal with are they going through these same symptoms, which is anxiety, fear of having cancer? So what I started to do was I worked with St. Jude's Children's Hospital, and I started to volunteer at various clinics and hospitals in New York and just talk to the patients, you know, just see how they were feeling, were anybody addressing their psychological needs. And what I found out was that patients were going through the same thing. Some of them had fear, depression, they couldn't sleep. And the doctors, you know, they take care of the physical part of the cancer. But it wasn't a lot during the time when me and Zinc started Fashion Fights Cancer, where they took care of the emotional and the psychological effects of the patients dealing with the cancer. And that's really how Fashion Fights Cancer got started, just talking to the patients, you know, getting an understanding of what they were going through and what they were feeling. So that's how Fashion Fights Cancer got started in a nutshell.
Right.
Yeah.
And the name is pretty self-explanatory, Fashion Fighting Cancer. So
right.
What's happening now is that you're doing workshops that have designers,
right.
models, different celebrities.
Yeah, Zinc, correct. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Can you, Zinc, are you able to just explain to me why you guys chose to use fashion? And, you know, why did you get involved in this whole movement to help people that are surviving cancer, cancer patients, people that are going through tough times? I know that both of you have, you know, extensive resumes. You have businesses, et cetera, et cetera. I really am curious, is why did you choose fashion as your method?
Initially, when I met Ty, I was in the music business from an executive standpoint, and I was going through a lot of things. Pardon, I was going through a lot of things, and I think I was going through some slight depression. I needed to find a way. I want to venture out of music business. I wanted to do something that I was interested in and something that was creative. So, like I said, in the process of meeting Ty, he was telling me about the program, the concept that he had, and I was really inspired by it. So as time went on, I realized that, I realized that sometimes being creative has a way of healing you in a certain way. It's like the equivalent of sometimes if you have a certain song that you experienced when you were younger, it brings out a certain nostalgia. So I just figured like fashion was a way for people to, you know, bring people together, create something, and then to have some form of nostalgia from the experience that they share with somebody else who share. It was a way for people to connect through fashion to have shared experiences as a form of like bonding. I just thought that was a good concept. That's pretty much it though.
Yeah. I actually think it's very interesting, and obviously everybody can be a professional in this industry if they choose to be, but it may not actually be that they are. And that's kind of where I shift over to Manuela, who has experience. She's done a lot of research. And Manuela, I want to put this to you. Is there a benefit of this whole fashion fights cancer strategy, bringing people that are renowned in the industry, experts, have them interact with people that are going through cancer, all the emotional challenges that they face on a daily basis, the pain and everything else. Is there anything scientific or anything factual that really backs up that this type of method has some benefits?
Ken, I'm really happy to tell you that yes, because heart therapy and in fashion fight cancer, the two sides of it that really bring it to another level, because heart therapy is already proven to be a good way to help people going through mental health problem, because when you're creative, when you're doing something, when you put a part of yourself in it, it brings you somewhere else in your head that medication cannot. Medication or the medical side of it help your body to heal, help your body to reorganize the metabolism. But the mental health is about where you put your head, where you put your connective. And when you're doing something about heart creativity, it brings you there. But fashion, it's more than just heart therapy, because fashion, it's a symbol of high standard. It's a symbol of the best version of yourself. It's a symbol of not just being normal, it's being upscale. I'm not sure of the word I'm looking for, but it's, and this is somewhere when associated designer with somebody with a mental health situation, bring the person to give them a sense of value. And the fact that you bring all those people together to do something, it's at just the experience of it, bring reduce isolation, reduce symptom of anxiety, because you're doing something, and through that you're understanding that you are valuable, you can right. have power, you can do something that's great, and if that exists and you're part of it, that means you are something. And from the idea of I'm sick and now this is my new identity, because when you have cancer, it's hard to say like, hey, what are you doing for a job? Oh, no, I'm not working. I'm waiting to die in a way. And telling those people that, no, you're not waiting to die. You still have a life to live. And this is the type of thing you can do. And this is who you still are, because through that piece of t-shirt, of bag, of whatever they're doing, they bring a piece of them, and they explain a part of their reality with other person that also go through the same thing. So all this blend together, it's give a higher quality of life, reduce symptom of anxiety, of depression, give them a sense of purpose, empowerment, reduce isolation. So when they ask me to be part of the FFC therapy and to be the clinical, to explain clinical, the clinical part of how does it really work, it was for me like, it's a yes, yes. There's no way I can refuse to participate to something like this, because it's innovative. And with all the, because I always, in the past, I work in the mental health hospital. I work with people that have schizophrenia, long-term repetitive psychotic episode. So seeing the kind of, seeing the type of activity that consider therapy and being heart therapy, It was about painting. It was about making a show. It was about and fashion. The program, how is it is now? It's even better than what's on the, in the hospital right now.
So Manuela, let me ask you a question. As a clinical psychologist,
yeah.
Can you conclude, like I'm thinking that somebody taking raw materials, constructing it, so you're taking something that was nothing and building it, your hands on, like you said, you're interacting with people, and at the end of the day, you have a finished product.
Yeah.
Is that something that would be stimulating, you think would have benefits for somebody that's going through mental health issues?
Yes, and it's a result-driving process, because through the process, if you bring the person to understand the signification of what's happening, because they're feeling it. But when you put the little extra to make them understand that from nothing to something, it's from being somebody sick to somebody, period. And this is a challenge. And this is, yes, for me, it's 100% sure that it is. And this is why I'm working so much on it. And I'm so happy to read all those studies to explain exactly how.
Right. Speaking of challenges, obviously, we're all in self-isolation or living living behind masks for safety purposes. Ty, I know that these workshops were, normally done at venues. As a matter of fact, where have some of these workshops that Fashion Fights Cancer has done in the past, like where have you been doing these?
We've done them in various places. Sometimes the classes are hosted at the designer studios. Sometimes we host them at Littles, Beth Israel, Gilders Club, NYU, various hospitals. We host a class in Montreal at Jewish McGill Hope and Hope. So yeah, we host them at different venues. But because of COVID-19, the situation has changed and we kind of moved it virtually now.
Virtual?
Yeah.
So I guess that leads me into how is FFC adjusting to the pandemic? How is all this great work going to continue when at this point, you know, there's border limitations, there's the amount of people that are gathered in one place. I know they're kind of lightening up on it, but obviously I'd have to think that people that are surviving cancer are very vulnerable. So I'm sure you're very concerned. So how have you adjusted or what's in store moving forward?
Yeah, we made an adjustment. I mean, COVID is awful and it is the worst thing in the world. Like people are losing their lives. People are losing their jobs. We're isolated. We're in quarantine. But also it had a silver lining in it, because what it allow us to do is to transition virtually online. And it's been really good. We hosted one class that just passed with Natural Daya Karpi Piazza. Also, Gary Wozniak joined us on that class, designer Mar Hoffman, and also Sandra Campos from CEO of DVF, Dyvon Furstenberg. So although COVID's been awful, but it also has been a blessing, because now where we have to give the program in a physical location, now we're able to give it online. And now we can accommodate more patients, more people. And the therapy transfers, not just to cancer, but to other mental health issues.
That's wonderful. And now that you are going online, I know that Fashion Fights Cancer has a history, and it's not like this is something that's new. Zinc, actually, how long has FFC been around?
Roughly over 15 years. So
15 years.
Yeah.
So you have 15 years under your belt doing this. And does it still feel like how it does when you first started? Or do you really have new ideas that you want to push forward at this point?
Well, for me, I came in maybe about a decade ago. But
right.
So I get excited every month or so because we have so many different ideas that we want to share, some things that we would like to keep, some things you want to take out. So in the process of that, like getting feedback, and you also hear so many different stories about things that, you know, when I initially was participant or got involved, I didn't think people would, you know, have feelings of not want to commit suicide, feel like they gained back their memory. Like, this is something like I just want to help, you know, and, you know, I just believe like we're just here to be servants. So when, you know, me and Ty, we talk about how can we help more people, how can we expand it, that's what gets me excited, because we can work with more kids. We want to work with, you know, people that, you know, women that go through like domestic violence, whatever it is. But because what we realize is it's a smooth segue for people to socialize and also experience, a fun and loose environment while also relieving some of their anxiety. So that's what, you know, I'm always inspired. Like I said, I get it. You know, I'm really, you know, from the first time to now, like I said, it's been really, I've been overwhelmed with joy, like to be, you know, right. So, yeah.
And actually this question goes out to both you and Ty. You can decide who wants to answer or how you both want to answer. We've talked about women that have been facing so many challenges, surviving cancer and doing, you know, dealing with the day-to-day. Mm-hmm. But there's obviously children that have cancer. There are men that have cancer. And, you know, let's really start with men, because I know that there's things that you are doing with the kids, but we'll get into that. But for men that are surviving cancer, are there things that you've done or that you're planning to do to address men and the challenges that they face?
I could take it. So with men, you know, guys, Zink and Ken, sometimes we can be really stubborn.
Right.
And you can't get men to come out. You can't get them to go take physicals. It's like, I'm okay, you know. So it's very hard for people, it's very hard for our family members to get men to come out. And it's hard for us because we're always taught to be so tough and strong to talk about our feelings or if we're going through something or if we're having pain, anxiety, or fear. So, what me and Zink like to do, and, you know, why I love him as a partner, as a business partner, is because we pilot everything. So one of the things that we piloted was a men's watchmaking class, which goes along with our for-profit business. So men, they love watches. They want to, you know, come out. They want to work. They want to work the program because, yes, it's therapeutic that they're making the watch. And it also, they get to leave with a watch. So it's something almost like a carrot. You know, it's like a something sweet that we can say, you know what, we can use this to bring men out, for men to bond, to talk, you know. So we use our watchmaking class as therapy also for our men just dealing with cancer or any other mental health issue.
Now, I've seen some of these watches that you make. Like, they look really high end. Like, what type of materials are you using? Because it looks like they're really expensive.
Well,
as a matter of fact, you know what? Let me back up a second.
Okay.
Can you send me one of those watches just so I can get a
really
perspective of them?
Sure. Sure. Why not? The watches are, for our for-profit business, our watches are expensive. You know, they're made out of precious materials, gold and other things. The other watches that the patients use are more like stainless steel. And it's not really the material, like I said. It's the thing of... looking at a mechanical watch, understanding how it works, you know, taking your mind off your situation, and also like being able to use something to bring men out, to bring men together to talk about the issues that they're going through, the mental health issues that they're going through, which is so tough. But I think the watch class is a really good magnet to bring men out to want to talk about mental health.
Right. Now, you mentioned that you've done events at different venues.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also noticed that there are some initiatives that you're doing with schools. So how does that work?
I don't know. You want to take this, Zink, or you want me to?
What we want to do is we want to enter the program into schools Because a lot of times what we find out is, you know, you talk to children, or you sometimes you talk to parents, they have a lot of challenges. And sometimes we think certain things are hard, right? So, you know, as opposed to for me personally, like as opposed to looking at something as being hard, I look at it as something being new. So when we want to present the kids, or excuse me, the schools with something for them to aspire to. So if, pardon my throat, a lot of times people can't see past the moment. If we are able to create an environment where they can visualize something and actually finish something, you can see, like, whatever your goal is, you'll still be able to accomplish it. You know, you might not realize, you know, something maybe seems so far-fetched, you know, whether it's you might want to go to a certain school, you might want to do a certain profession. If we can present you something that seems new or challenging, you know, you can utilize that same skill to do anything you want to accomplish your goal. So that's, the school is more about is building self-esteem, you know, through creating projects.
And Zeke, you could, I don't know if you want to touch on the class we did in the Bronx, our works. So,
right. Oh yeah. So yeah, we did a class in the Bronx, and it was, you know, they made scarves. But what was happening in the process was, you know, a lot of the children, or a lot of the young adults, they were, in the beginning, like I said, it was challenging. It's like, well, I don't know how to do this. We had, you know, even with measuring, like, oh, I don't know, you know, how can I measure this to make this make sense? And so through the school boards, they got more comfortable. So their idea of what they had in their head prior to touching the materials or seeing the magazines for the mood board, each step they became more empowered. They start to communicate a little bit more to each other. You know, they were more confident. They start exchanging ideas. And as, you know, as we got closer to the finished product, they got a chance to explain their ideas behind the potential, the scarves they want to make, the demographic of, you know, the demographic, the price point. And you start to see them become a lot more confident looking at something that it seems so daunting, but they became confident because, like I said, we took baby steps and, you know, we allowed them to have the freedom to express themselves in a way that was comfortable. It was like we didn't push them. And so, like I said, that was one of the classes we were really proud about that, like I said, they really enjoyed it. And it's like they, you know, they contact us later. Like I've used some of that to apply that, you know, just a particular class I was having problems with, whether it was calculus. Like it seemed like a problem, but I was able to break it down and solve it because it's something I, you know, that I didn't feel forced to do, as opposed, like some people are not academically inclined, but you know, it was like I was, you know, they was learning how to learn something new, basically. That's, you know,
Some of the skills are actually transferable. And they can be applied in different situations to overcome challenges.
Yeah.
And this is a segue. Sorry, Ty, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I was saying it touches on a point of that curriculum touched on New York core. The point of that curriculum touched on New York's core curriculum. So it touched on mathematics. It touched on building. It touched on writing. It touched on collaborative learning. So a lot of that is in New York core curriculum. And they were able to execute that during the class. While, as Zink would say, they were able to build confidence as they went along in the class also. So, yeah.
Amazing. And actually, this perfectly segues us to FFC therapy. Because, you know, as Zink elaborated that you've been doing this for over 15 years, I guess during the journey, you've realized that, wait a minute, these workshops can help people that are maybe depressed, people that have anxiety, like you mentioned, et cetera, et cetera. So this is kind of where we come full circle to this FFC therapy podcast of where you've done great work for 15 years. You plan to continue with Fashion Fights Cancer, but you also realize that this can benefit other people as well. So Manuela, you know, is this actually a possibility here that what these guys, you know, what FFC, the family, has done over the past 15 years, is this something that we can transfer into different mental health issues that people are having?
Yes, it's transferable because the FFC program as it is right now help people going through cancer, but what is really helping is the mental health. That's
right.
Part of it's not because they have cancer that it's working or it's benefit them. It's because they have that anxiety, they have that isolation. So anybody with mental health problem and anxiety, depression, isolation is the three main words that come back often and again, because when you have mental health problem, it's always come with that feeling of I have to isolate myself and all those symptoms come back in other diagnoses. So if the person have those problem, it's the same process again and again. And what is transferable, it's really the fact that what we're doing with that person, it's helping them overcome what's going on in their head and understanding that they can be more than that and they can do more. And what they learning or the fact that they communicate with some new person that have the same problem having, but they're talking about something else than just being sick, make them realize that, oh, I can do that again. And we're going to encourage people to repeat what the same thing as the kid. Social skills and resolving problem through a workshop in the Fashion Fight Cancer Therapy. They learn to not embrace the problem that they have, but more of understanding that there are somebody behind that problematic. They're behind that mental health problem, and that person still exists, and we bring that person back to life. So this is, fully transferable.
Actually, I had a chance of speaking with one of the people that are working with FFC, Didi, who is actually a cancer survivor, and I'm hoping that in our future episodes we'll be able to catch up with her because she can talk about the day-to-day challenges. But one thing that does stick out that she had mentioned to me was kinship, and that people that have cancer can relate to other people that have cancer, and there's an unspoken word or there's certain things that they feel that don't have to be explained, but it gives them comfort being within each other's presence. So I really am excited and I'm really proud to see that you have come together as a group, as a collective in like 15 years. This isn't just an idea that's coming out that's now you're expanding, you want to reach the world. The thing is that FFC is doing such great things, and you know, a lot of the times people only see the finished product. So how does this all happen? Like, obviously, you know, designers of the caliber that you're reaching out to, some of the models, the celebrities, etc., they have busy schedules, they have their own mandates. Ty, how have you managed to get this type of quality content put together for 15 years and it seems like you're just growing? I don't want to give away your next episode, but maybe you might just want to share some of the people that may be coming across the podcast in the upcoming episodes.
Yeah, like I said, FFC, we've been very fortunate, you know, to work with some of the top tier designers in the industry. So, like I said, we work with supermodel Saskia DeVries, Maya Hoffman, Monique Payon, Tracy Reese, Carmen Montalvo, the list goes on and on. So we've been very fortunate. And it's, I think more than the program, it's a testament to who the people are. You know, for them, like, as you said, Ken, they have very busy schedules. They're running multi-million dollar brands. And for them to give one class per week for 4 weeks is asking a lot. And me and Zinc can testify that running a brand is not easy. So
right.
It's more of a testament to everybody who participated in Fashion Fights Cancer, and not just the designers, but the assistants, the interns, volunteers, everybody. It's a testament to who the people are to say, you know what, I can understand what these people are going through, the mental health issues that they're going through, and I want to donate my time. So yeah, our upcoming podcast, we have some great names coming up. So our next upcoming podcast is with designer Jason Wu. I'm really excited about that.
Sorry. Wait a minute. Did you say Jason Wu? Like,
yeah, I
designer
said Jason.
Of Michelle Obama, former first lady.
Jason Wu. So he was gracious enough to to be a part of the podcast. He's coming on. One of the ones I'm really excited about is Monique Payon, because she's actually taught the class, and her jewelry is like out of this world. She does sustainable jewelry at a really high level, and I love her work, and she's always been supportive of Fashion Fights Cancer over the last 10 years. We have a full lineup coming. It's going to be really great. The designers, people like Manuel, a clinical psychologist, authors. We're going to have a great lineup coming up. So people should definitely tune in.
And I also know that you have events. So if people want to know more about FFC, the movement, the upcoming events, the programs, how would we go about doing that?
Yeah, sure. Definitely, you can always find us on social media at our Facebook is Fashion Fights Cancer. At Fashion Fights Cancer is our Instagram handle. And then you also can visit www.fashionfightscancer.org if you want to be a part of it.
Zinc, Manuela, Ty, it's been a pleasure having you. I look forward to seeing you in upcoming episodes and taking us behind the scenes or taking us into the workshops, and also obviously interacting with some of the top designers and models in the industry. This sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. I want to wish all of you continued success. So we had once again Manuela, who's a clinical psychologist. We have co-founder Zinc of Fashion Fights Cancer and Ty Canty, president of Fashion Fights Cancer. I really want to thank you for your time. And once again, continued success.
Thank you, Ken. I appreciate it. Thank you, Emanuela. Thank you, Zinc. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you, everybody.
Take care, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for attending our first episode of FFC Therapies podcast. Stay tuned for future episodes. As Ty mentioned, a lot of celebrities and special people will be coming across our path. So have a great day. Enjoy yourself. Stay safe. We're out. Peace.